With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This episode may contain content of a graphic nature, including descriptions of physical and sexual violence against adults, children, and animals. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tanya.
And I'm Talia.
And we are Crimes and Consequences, a true crime podcast. Hi, Talia.
Hi, Tanya.
How you doing?
I am a little under the weather today, in case you can't tell by my voice. But otherwise, I'm great. I'm excited to hear some true crime.
I have got a exciting story today.
For real?
I think so.
Okay, that didn't seem 100% confident, but okay.
And before I begin the story, I would just like to remind everyone to hit the subscribe or follow button on whatever app you're listening to, and I'm going to get into it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Zach Bowen and Addie Hall began their romance and built their lives together in New Orleans, but this love would quickly turn into destruction. So let's go to the beginning.
Yeah, let's start.
Zach Bowen was born on May 15, 1978 in Bakersfield, California, where he spent the majority of his childhood. He was a laid-back, charismatic, charming, and good-looking young man who left an impression on just about everyone he met. However, people that knew Zach from his earlier years, said that he was a people pleaser to an unhealthy degree.
So he's manipulating, it's all fake.
Yeah. From a very young age, he was constantly worried about letting people down and disappointing them as a result. Not to mention, whenever he would fail at anything, he was harder on himself than anyone else was.
Well, that's okay. I mean, yeah, I'm a lot like that.
I think I am too.
That's, I don't like it when people hate me.
Right, and...
Or I disappoint them.
I know. I'm like, and I am always worried about letting people down.
Right.
Right? Like clients and family.
Yeah,
and
so that's normal.
That's normal. His parents were divorced, so he lived with his mom in Bakersfield. He attended high school in Sacramento. And when he was in high school, he fell into a really extremely depressive state. Wanting to fix this.
That's because high school sucks.
Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, man. High school sucks. He wanted to fix this, so he decided he was going to move to New Orleans, where his father lived, and attend school out there instead of being in California with his mom. Like, he just felt like he needed a fresh start, so he's going to go there and just start over. And that's what he did. When he was 18, he graduated from high school, and afterward got a job bartending on Bourbon Street.
Have
you ever
been
to New Orleans?
No, I planned a trip this year, but I didn't go, and I want to go to Bourbon Street. That's a great place to bartend, I'm assuming.
It probably is, I'm sure, because there's lots of tourists and stuff like that. I've never been to New Orleans either, but it's on my bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
One day, while he was working at this bartending job, he met a woman named Lana. Lana and Zach started dating, and she soon found out she was pregnant with his child. Mm-hmm. So the two got married, and in order to take care of his family better, Zach ended up joining the Army. The benefits it could provide alone was reason enough, he felt, to sign up. However, things didn't really go exactly as planned or how he thought they might go. When he was in the Army, he served two tours, one in Kosovo.
Oh.
I know. And one in Iraq. And he eventually rose to the rank of sergeant. Unfortunately, the things he saw while serving, just like countless other brave men and women who give their lives to serve our country, he would eventually develop severe PTSD. Now, in Zach's case, there were two incidents in particular that played a big part in his development of PTSD, which haunted him throughout his life. One was the sudden death of a fellow soldier, and the other was the memory of a young boy who he befriended during one of his tours. He built a friendship with this young boy who was forbidden to speak to American soldiers, and as a result, the boy was murdered.
Oh, man.
I know. Shortly after Zach and he developed a friendship. I know. So Zach felt extreme guilt.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
And pain and
grief, pain. He felt just terrible. If that wasn't enough, because of his military issue combat boots, they weren't very well fitting. So he developed a severe and painful case of hammer toe.
So hammer toe?
Yeah. So
I thought you were born with hammer toe.
I don't think so. Not only was he in mental pain and anguish, he also was in severe physical pain. He began to purposely fail his health and fitness tests so he could go back home and be with his family and his wife, Lana. After several years of serving in the military, Zach was generally discharged. And that's different from being honorably or dishonorably discharged. Being generally discharged means that a soldier's service was satisfactory, but that they were involved in situations where their performance wasn't great enough to be honorably discharged, I guess.
Okay, I get it. And subpar.
Yeah, like you did a good job. You did your job like you were supposed to. It just wasn't stellar, I guess. I'm not trying to shit on him, you know.
All right.
Also, he lost all his health benefits because of this. Oh. Like, if you don't get an honorable discharge, I think you lose much of your military benefits.
I don't know much about that.
As you know, as I told you, Zach was a people pleaser. So getting this general discharge just devastated him. If it wasn't for the fact that he'd be able to go home to his wife and child, he would have felt that all of the trauma wouldn't have been worth it. He seemed to focus on the silver lining, though. So with that, he packed his bags and headed home to Louisiana to be with his wife and child. However, when he returned, his wife wasn't met by the same man that had left to go to the army. Instead, when he came home, poor Zach is suffering from PTSD. He just wasn't the same.
Right.
You know, I know this is true for a lot of people who served, especially in war zones. As a result, their relationship began to fall apart and they got a divorce. After Lana took their child and decided to leave him, Zach was devastated and lonely, and I'm sure many other things, depressed. Do you know what I mean? I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
It's sad that she just couldn't stick around, I feel, to help him navigate.
But you don't know how he was behaving.
That's true. So here's Zach. He is thrust back into civilian life, suffering from severe PTSD. He really needed help that he isn't finding. So he's having a really hard time getting a job, but he found odd jobs around the French Quarter, one of which was at the Spotted Cat.
What's that?
It's a bar.
Okay.
And that's where he met his coworker, Addie Hall. Let me tell you a little bit about Addie. Addie Hall was born as Adrian Hall on January 15, 1976. She was described as a free spirit, yet feisty, independent artist who grew up in North Carolina. She always knew she was meant to spread her wings and fly free.
Oh.
So she decided to start a new life. She packed her bags and she moved to New Orleans when she was old enough. Now, while she was an aspiring artist, she was also a starving artist who had to pay her bills. So she began bartending at the Spotted Cat in the French Quarter. For those unfamiliar with the area, the French Quarter is a neighborhood in New Orleans that is home to the famous Bourbon Street. So she was, like we kind of talked about earlier.
That's a place to be if you're going there.
If you're going there, that's the tourist spot.
And the drunk spot.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's lots of places to drink alcohol. One of the reasons why Addie wanted to move to New Orleans was she was escaping an extremely toxic and abusive relationship back home in North Carolina. So when it came to forming new relationships, new romantic relationships, this just wasn't something she was necessarily focused on or even looking for, really, in the slightest. Moreover, she was dealing with her own mental health issues. She had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and she would take her medications irregularly. So that would cause her to have erratic outbursts at random times. So she wasn't a compliant patient. Of course, there was no telling when these outbursts would occur, but When they did, she could be pretty scary, especially because she liked drugs and alcohol. So that, in addition to her mental health issues,
it was fuel for the fire.
Right, right. I mean, she was aggressive sometimes, and she just was a scary person to be around. Her friends would later say that the drinking and drugs would just turn her into a completely different person.
Oh, I mean, that's what drinking and drugs do.
But at any rate, she was working her job with friends in the city that she loved, working on her mental health status, and weary of new relationships with men.
And how old is she again?
At this time, she's 29 and Zach is 27. But, you know, she's working on herself, and then along comes Zach. Their relationship started out innocent enough, but she found Zach to be just a really interesting and intriguing person. She enjoyed his company. The more she got to know him, she would flirt with him in her own way, playfully teasing him and giving him a hard time. You know how you just kind of you hassle the people that you're attracted to, right? And sometimes she did this as sort of a test to see if he could handle anything that she gave him. And he seemed to handle it just fine, probably because he was dealing with his own issues. And, you know, he's just like, we're kind of two peas in a pod. Addie and Zach started to date a couple weeks before Hurricane Katrina tore through the town. And we all know what happened with Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. I mean, New Orleans was devastated. So once Hurricane Katrina hits, they didn't leave town. They ended up deciding to stay in the city and stick it out. Because a lot of people did leave. And they didn't go back. Zach had every intention of leaving the city. And he was going to stay with his estranged wife, Lana, and their child so that he could get out of the storm. The mass exodus out of New Orleans was so severe that Lana even welcomed Zach's girlfriend, Addie, like allowed them to stay with her. But Addie's desire for independence and a life all on her own with her new boyfriend far exceeded any need that she had to leave the city. So she'd stayed in the city and Zach stayed with Lana, and Zach would check on Addie and he couldn't leave her, and they decided to weather the storm together in her apartment. The apocalyptic Category 5 hurricane.
Yeah, that was huge.
Hit New Orleans directly. There was catastrophic flooding and nearly 2,000 people died.
I remember.
Oh, I remember. It was terrible. But the majority of the historic French Quarter was unscathed, save for some fallen tree limbs, broken signage, and scattered debris. Zach and Addie gathered with the few people that waited out the storm, and collectively they made dinners together over campfires, drank booze out of dirty coolers. They stayed up late singing songs.
They made the best of it.
Yeah, they made the best of it. They were so swept up in the romance of everything that they were completely oblivious to the goings-on just blocks away at the Superdome and surrounding areas.
Oh, that's where they had all the, basically, refugees.
Yeah, at the Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
Zach and Addie stayed in Addie's apartment in New Orleans while Hurricane Katrina ripped through New Orleans in August of 2005. The two of them had a similar lifestyle, which was heavily led by drugs and alcohol. So,
Zach's doing it too?
Yeah, Zach's doing it too. While Hurricane Katrina ravaged New Orleans, Addie and Zach hunkered down and waited out the storm. While trapped and alone together during this time, they got really close to one another, and they ended up falling deeply in love. The traumatic events and its devastating aftermath really managed to bond them even closer together. Now they were inseparable. Their decision to stay in the city managed to make them sort of like local celebrities. They were photographed and interviewed by a few national magazines and newspapers who were fascinated with their story and their decision to stick around when everyone else took off. This kind of went to their heads, though. While the storm, while the storm made them closer, it also really took them out of the realm of reality. And it didn't help that they had nothing to do since everything was closed and there's no responsibilities at this point except just staying alive. They were able to really delve into one another by spending every waking moment together. It was like a honeymoon phase.
During this disaster. Okay.
They would go to abandoned bars and steal the booze.
Oh.
So they'd make cocktails for their neighbors or other people walking the streets in exchange for different items that they needed. They would cook their food on a bonfire, smack dab in the middle of the street. They truly felt like king and queen of the French Quarter
at the moment. All right.
But the feeling didn't last when they found out how devastating the hurricane really was. Well, they were lucky to be in the French Quarter, which didn't flood. The couple was unaware of the tragedy, like I told you, in other parts of the city. And soon, their happiness would shatter. And before I tell you more, we're going to take a break.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
As Zach and Addie are finding out about the devastation, Zach was beginning to like relive old trauma, right?
Oh, yeah. That PTSD. Got going on.
You know, there was military control there. I mean, the military helped. The general destruction of the place. And there was just vast amounts of people just dying.
Yeah, you said 2,000.
Yeah, it had a profound effect on his state of mind, which was already in a sensitive place. As the days, weeks, and months grew on, Addie and Zach let themselves fall into massive drug and alcohol spirals. Before they knew it, or before they were even ready, the city started to turn around. Because, you know, we're rebuilding after the hurricane.
Right, of course.
Once the streets were cleaned up, the businesses began to reopen and people began to return to the town. And Zach and Addie's honeymoon phase was dwindling.
That's just so weird.
Reality, okay. I know, reality hit them when life started to go back to normal again, especially for Addie. Not only were they faced with the reality of having to pay bills and going to their jobs again, having to start over, but she had to deal with the fact that Zach had some baggage that she wasn't necessarily willing to deal with. Addie wanted Zach for Zach and nothing more. She didn't want to deal with his kid.
All the shit he's got going on.
His ex-wife. She wasn't willing to accept that he had a past history that didn't include her. This really started to wear on their relationship. And things started to go sour quickly.
Oh, I bet they go real sour.
Oh, I bet. You got that right.
So you know, but yes. I like how you're like, I bet.
I bet. No spoilers. They started getting into a ton of arguments and fights. And these just weren't your everyday normal couple fights. They were violent. Sometimes they would happen sober and sometimes they would be under the influence, which ultimately made them worse. They were the type of couple to get crazy during an explosive violent fight. Break up and then get back together. It was just really toxic.
Volatile.
Yeah, volatile. They lost many friends in the process because nobody enjoys...
Nobody wants to hang around with that shit.
No one wants to hang out with people who are constantly fighting and... I mean, it's uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah, it is.
And sometimes these fights are nasty and violent and nobody wants to witness
that.
Exactly. Mutual friends didn't want to choose between them, so they just stayed out of it totally. When Zach wasn't working, he was always at the bar where Addie worked, keeping a close eye on her, listening to every conversation.
Okay, that's getting weird.
I know, that she had with male customers, especially. Addie told him, you know, give me some space, but Zach ignored her request. Addie's boss, Ira Jones, overheard a conversation where Zach said to her, quote, if I can't have you, nobody can.
Okay, yeah, we've heard that before.
Yeah, end quote.
It's very cliche.
Right? And it gives a little peek inside the relationship and what kind of shit is going down. Zach was getting to the point where he was just over it. He was sick of the uncertainty surrounding their relationship and the daily emotional roller coaster the two of them were on. Not only did he tell his friends that he was planning to break up with Addie, he also told Addie their relationship was pretty much over.
But if I can't have you, no one can.
I know, right?
It's a little confusing.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. Instead of moving on and calling it quits, Addie decided that she wanted to give it another chance. She suggested that they get an apartment together, a new one, and rekindle their relationship on a fresh, clean slate.
Fresh start.
Yeah, let's just move somewhere else. And Zach agreed. So we're going to have this quote-unquote fresh start.
I'm starting to feel like I remember the story somehow.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
All right. One day they're on a walk. And they came across a for rent sign for an apartment located at 826 North Rampart Street, which was also located above the famed Voodoo Temple.
Oh, yeah.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. When I was going to go on a trip to...
Oh, that was one of the places you were going to visit?
Yeah.
It sounds fun. The apartment was available immediately, so they made an offer right away and moved in. Zach paid 2 months' worth of the rent up front, so they wouldn't have to worry about the payments right away, and they both signed the lease agreement. Now, normally this wouldn't have been a problem, but just days after moving in, Annie decided to end their relationship.
Oh, that's a problem.
Supposedly, she claimed that he had been cheating on her.
And she should have thought about all this a little bit beforehand.
Seriously. And after coming out of such a toxic relationship, like when she was in North Carolina, she really didn't want to deal with someone who was going to cheat on her.
Then don't sign a lease.
Honestly, right? Disloyalty to her was her breaking point. So Zach's name's on the lease. So this is a problem, right?
Yeah.
They're both on the lease. So Addie ended up going to the landlord and asking if there was any way that they could take Zach's name off the lease and just leave her there.
Unless he agrees.
Right. I'm not sure why the landlord felt the need to insert himself into this relationship, but he straight up told Addie no and advised her to go back home with Zach, work out the relationship issues. He was going to counsel her.
Oh, okay. You know, that makes sense.
Just try and figure things out. Surprisingly enough, Addie took this advice, and this conversation with the landlord happened on October 4th, 2006. And that was the last time anyone saw her.
That was the last time anyone saw her?
Mm-hmm. 2 days later, on October 6th, Addie was nowhere to be seen or heard from. And whenever any friends would ask Zach where Addie was or ask why no one had seen her, Zach would tell them, "She left me." He would tell people that he and Addie got into the worst fight ever, and she decided to move back to North Carolina. Now, there were very mixed feelings about this excuse from the get-go, as people knew Addie, and they believed that she was just head over heels in love with the city of New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't see her leaving on a whim like that. It just seemed really strange and too sudden to be believable. On the other hand, there were people who knew how spontaneous and unpredictable Addie could be. So those people, it made sense to them, sort of, in a way. She was known to make a decision, not tell anyone, and just go with it. I mean, she ran away from New Orleans, so people wondered what made them think she wouldn't also run from New Orleans. The only thing that seemed to throw people was the way Zach was acting on October 6th. He showed up at work like it was any other normal day, except coworkers remember him acting kind of weird. They later said he was really quiet, and that he wore sunglasses, even though he was indoors, and he wore them all day.
Okay, why?
I know, he wore them all day, as well as he wore a hat. The hat wasn't part of their normal work uniforms. I mean, neither were sunglasses, but at the time, people just assumed his behavior was a direct result of Addie leaving him. Like, maybe he was crying, and that's why he wore sunglasses, okay. Right? Like,
or maybe he had a couple of black eyes or something hiding.
Right?
That's my thought.
The days following Addie, quote-unquote, leaving, was when Zach seemed to really lose grip with reality. He was partying nonstop. He spent thousands of dollars at strip clubs, drinking at different bars, doing drugs, and employing sex workers.
Oh, employing sex workers. Is that what we're saying now?
That's what I'm saying,
instead of picking up prostitutes.
Yes.
Okay.
Again, people just thought that this is a way he's coping with Addie leaving him so suddenly. It wasn't until Tuesday evening, October 17th, 2006, that the story of what happened became crystal clear. On that day, Zach went to the Omni Royal Orleans Hotel and drank at their rooftop bar until he was blackout drunk. Surveillance of the rooftop bar showed a nervous Zach with a drink in his hand, pacing toward the edge of the roof, looking over the terrace and walking back again. It seemed to people who watched it that he was maybe trying to convince himself to jump and commit suicide. He's still drinking, so after he was good and toasted, he downed his final drink before throwing himself off the side of the building and taking his own life.
He did. Wow.
When the authorities arrived on the scene, they found Zach's body, and in his back pocket, they discovered his army dog tags, along with a handwritten letter, both of these wrapped in a black plastic bag. In his front pocket, they found a set of keys. The letter was addressed specifically to the police, stating, "To police," right on it. It reads as follows, quote, "This is not accidental. I had to take my own life to pay for the one I took. If you send a patrol to 826 North Rampart, you will find the dismembered corpse of my girlfriend, Addie, in the oven."
What?
On the stove.
What?
And in the fridge.
What the fuck is this shit?
I know. And in the fridge, along with full documentation on the both of us and a fully signed confession from myself. The keys in my right front pocket are for the gates. Call Leo Watermeyer to let you in.
Okay, that's the landlord.
Mm-hmm, and Zach signed his name. Authorities immediately rushed over to the apartment, and the first thing they noticed upon walking through the front door was how cold the apartment was. The thermostat was set to 60 degrees because Zach had been trying to preserve Addie's body for as long as possible. All over the walls were spray-painted graffiti slogans. On one wall, it said, "Please call my wife," with Lana's name and number displayed next to it. On another wall, it said, "I'm a total failure."
And yeah, yep.
Yeah, and "Please help me stop the pain," with an arrow pointing over to the oven where Addie's remains were. Words oh. read, "I love her. Look in the oven."
What the fuck?
I know. You didn't see this coming, did you?
No, but no. I told you, I feel like I somehow like heard this on the news.
Yeah.
But
this is
holy
so messed up, right?
Holy shit.
Yeah, so as promised, the authorities found Addie's remains in the kitchen. They found her decapitated head in a pot that was burning on the stove. In another pot, they found Addie's hands and her feet. And once they opened the door to the oven, they found her arms and her legs.
Stop.
Which, you're gonna hate this part.
Okay, I already hate what you just said.
No,
so can you just give me some more? Okay, just give me a second. I'm sweating. This is horrible.
I know.
Just stop talking for a second, Tanya.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Arms and legs seem to have some type of seasoning on them. And when they opened the fridge, that's where Addie's torso was. It must be noted that next to the two pots on the top of the stove were actually potatoes that were cut up and carrots, which leads...
Why am I not shocked? Why am I sitting here...
And being shocked.
Being shocked when I've done cases like that for Thanksgiving dinner where like she's cooked her husband. But I wasn't... Okay, today wasn't the day for this.
Today wasn't the day for this, right. And so, you know, of course, people believe that maybe there was some cannibalistic intentions going on.
Oh, you think?
Yeah,
I know. Seasoning? I mean, come
what
on,
the fuck,
potatoes?
Dude, right? I'm just like...
Hello.
Yeah. While we don't know for sure, I think it's safe to assume that that's where this was all heading. Continuing the search of the crime scene, the police went on to find Addie's journal that Zach had been writing in.
He wrote in her journal?
Yeah, and that's where he wrote his 8-page confession, which reads in part, quote, "Today is the 16th of October at 2 a.m. I killed her at 1 a.m. Thursday, October 5th. I very calmly strangled her. It was very quick. Halfway through the task, I stopped and thought about what I was doing. The decision to halt the first idea and move to plan B, the crime scene you are now in, came after a while. I scared myself, not by the action of calmly strangling the woman I've loved for 1.5 years and then desecrating her body, but by my entire lack of remorse. I've known for forever how horrible of a person I am. Ask anyone. And decided to quit my jobs and spend the $1,500 cash I had been saving and just find some happiness until I killed myself. So that's what I did. Good food, good drugs, good strippers, good friends, and any loose ends I may have had. I didn't contact any of my family, so that'll explain the shock. And I had a fantastic time living out my days."
That's nice. That's lovely.
"It's just about time now," end quote. After killing her. Okay, Talia.
What? What do you have? Why are you looking at me like this? Stop it. Your nose is flaring up. This is not okay. What?
After he killed her, he sexually violated her corpse several times before passing out next to it.
Gross.
The next morning, he got up and went to work like it was any other normal day.
He's gross.
Yes. When he returned home, he moved Addie's corpse to the bathtub, where he dismembered her using a hacksaw and a knife. Afterward, he meticulously cleaned the bathroom.
Why? Why bother?
Right?
Why bother at this point?
Why bother? I mean, seriously. It took him 4 days to decide what to do with Addie's remains. During that time, he went about his life as normal. Friends who met with him during the 2 weeks between the murder and his suicide said he seemed to be in good spirits.
No, because he was living his best life for that time.
Yeah, blowing that water cash, right?
100, yeah.
He even spoke about going on a vacation. Apparently, he decided to cook Addie's remains only in order to make them easier to dispose of. Sure.
Well, that's why we're seasoning this.
Yeah, that's why they're seasoning
and
there's potatoes and carrots.
Yeah, come on.
Despite the crime scene and the rumors that circulated, no human remains were found in his system during his autopsy.
Well, he had
just
2 weeks.
Around to it, right?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter at this point.
Furthermore, it was discovered that his body was covered in cigarette burns.
According
to the written confession, Zach had burned himself for every year of his life to mark all of the mistakes he made.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Zach never got to pay. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the court system.
Yeah,
for what he did to Addie. I feel sometimes doing something like what he did is sometimes the easy way out. Because you don't have to go through serving time or going through court proceedings.
Yeah, but you got to go face the afterlife.
Yeah. Maybe she's haunting him in the afterlife. I just hope. So here's an interesting twist to this story. Okay. As if it has a pen full of twists.
Can't wait.
As I mentioned before, the apartment that Addie and Zach got together was located at 826 North Rampart.
So let me guess, it's a tourist area now, like you can visit it.
Well,
from
I told you, that address was located above the Priestess Miriam Voodoo Spiritual Temple, which is a well-respected cultural establishment in New Orleans. Like you said, it was on your places to go. That being said, people believe that there's a reason why Zach did what he did, and some blame it on being located above the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was some sort of black magic or voodoo. Okay. Even today, the apartment itself is actually a tourist attraction.
So, I know, because I was looking into New Orleans to go there, and they had spots where people were murdered. And that's what I'm saying. I think I
That's how maybe you heard it?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can go to the apartment and visit where Zach murdered Addie.
That's horrible.
It is horrible.
This is horrible. Poor Addie's family.
I know, right? Like her murder scene is a tourist attraction?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. Tenants of the apartment above the temple, since this happened in 2006, have experienced some paranormal activity.
Okay.
They report having feelings of being watched. They hear voices. They feel like the walls are pressing in. That's all
Maybe
been
they should
situations.
Get off drugs and alcohol.
That's all been things that they reported.
Stop the LSD.
Right. The building is currently being leased to another voodoo priestess, who has turned it into a museum of the paranormal with tours of the apartment. Another interesting thing to note about this story is in regards to one of their closest friends, and I mean Zach and Addie's closest friends, who 6 years later also became a murderer herself.
No.
After the Zach and Addie tragedy, the friend's name was Margaret. She talked with investigators who claimed that she was completely shocked to learn what happened, as Zach had always seemed like such a nice guy. And then here she is 6 years later, she kind of did the same thing. So her name is Margaret Sanchez, and in 2012, her and her boyfriend were convicted in the death and dismemberment of a woman named Jaren Lockhart.
That's just, right? I don't know, ironic. That's crazy.
Apparently, Jaren was a dancer at a club, and Margaret and her boyfriend convinced Jaren to come home with them for a private performance. Now, this private performance ultimately ended up with Jaren being stabbed in the chest, and then her body completely dismembered before it was thrown over a bridge and into a river.
What the hell is wrong with people?
I don't know. I know. Both Margaret and her boyfriend were arrested 6 days after the murder at a traffic stop. So it just seems to be a weird coincidence.
It's coincidental.
That this group of friends happened to have two murderers.
I don't have any in my group of friends.
I know. So anyway, that is my sad, sad story.
It is really sad for Addie's family.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I wonder what could be.
Man, he lost it.
Yeah, he really lost it. Like, what could have been done? I don't think anything.
I don't know.
Maybe treatment?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, thank you, Talia, for listening to today's story.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Before I get to the shout-outs, I'm just going to remind everyone to hit the subscribe or follow button.
Please.
And like I said, we've got shout-outs.
Yeah, I love shout-outs. You do it.
Okay, I'll do it. And these are people that have recently either signed up through patreon.com/TNTCrimes or Apple. And they are people that get our bonus episodes.
We release one a week.
And if you want to find out more, go to patreon.com/TNTCrimes or go to our website, crimesandconsequences.com. Okay, so.
And that is the letters TNT.
Yes, T.
Like dynamite.
N-T. Yeah, like dynamite, exactly. So these are the most wonderful people. The most wonderful people that we've met, I don't know if that's the right word, in the last month or so.
Okay.
So we have Amberly H, Gretchen G, Sarah M, Angela K, Gracie C, Lindsay M, Holly E, Carrie S, Esperanza M, Mel V, Millie, Elaine K, Kayla S, Matthew C, Taylor E., Carrie M., Kenneth H., Amanda V., Gina C., Jeannie C., Sam G., Kelsey A., David S., Jessica S., Andrew D., Heather F., Dan M., Lenita B., Nikia S., Regina B., Jessica M., Misty B., Christina R., Freya, Morgan B., Amanda B., Elena G., and last but not least, Justice and Shay.
Aww, yay.
Justice sent me an email and she says she loves us. Aww. And her wife Shay loves us. Aww. And they have a son who's a puppy.
Okay, and he loves us too.
Yes, and he loves us too. And she sent pictures, so I appreciate it.
Aww.
So
that is so awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, you can also find us on social media at Hardcore True Crime on Facebook and Instagram. And I think I covered everything.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I did enough for me. I'm satisfied.
I mean, I know all these things.
Just listen to another episode if you're confused and need the information on every one of them.
Just go to our website.
Yeah.
You'll find all kinds of info there. Anyway, until our next episode.
Don't kill each other.
Bye.
Bye.